Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, and it's page 971 in the Blue Bibles. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
Oh, sorry, thank you. Just as we were worshipping, these words came to me from Psalm 46, and the Lord says this: Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. Why don't we just take a moment of silence and stillness and do just as those words say, be still and know that I am God. Maybe in your hearts, just in the silence, to call upon the Lord, him to draw near to us now. The Lord Almighty is with us. Father, we thank you. That's your promise. That Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of the age. That you are here by your Spirit. Lord, we do welcome you here. We thank you for your presence. Come and draw near to us now as we draw near to you. May we know, Lord, that you are God in this place, in our lives, through the joys and the challenges. Draw us deeper to you, we pray now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, joys, sort of given the framework for what we're doing this morning as we continue looking at prayer. And I wonder how you would describe your prayer life if someone asked you, whether you're one of those people who chats to God all day long. Maybe you chat to him at work and in the car and as you're wrestling your children into their clothes in the morning. Or maybe you're someone who just calls out to God when actually things are really difficult, when you're facing a challenge, or when you're looking for something in your life, maybe a new job or a new relationship or a new car, I don't know, whatever it may be. Or maybe actually you find prayer really hard. Maybe you're at a place in your life when you don't really believe in the power of prayer, if you're honest. Or maybe you've been really hurt by unanswered prayers and you find it very difficult to pray. Well, Jesus here in this passage is telling us, ask, seek, knock. He's encouraging us to draw near to him and to call out to him in prayer. And in fact, he's not just inviting us to pray, he is calling us, commanding us into this relationship with God through prayer. And I just want to look very briefly at two simple questions this morning as we think about this passage. And the first is this: are we, or are you, asking God for things in prayer? Are you actually asking him for help in prayer? Now, we need to remember that prayer is not something that we do because we have to, because we're good Christians and it's a tick in the box and that's the thing that we do. And we don't pray to God because we have a long shopping list that we want to tick off and it's transactional and we say, God, help over here and give us whatever it may be over there, and that we present him our lists. But in order to understand why we pray, we need to look to Jesus. Why did he pray, and what was going on there? And what we see is, when we look to Jesus and his relationship with the Father, we see that there was this connectedness, there was a dependency and an intimacy between Jesus and his Father. He could only do what the Father did. He longed to be more and more in the presence of God. And in fact, everything he did came from the Father in prayer. His strength, his words. He was able to follow God's call upon his life because he was so close to God in intimacy through prayer. And the same is going to be true for you and for me. That everything we are, all that we can do, will come from the Father as we pray in intimacy with expectation through Jesus. And actually, I have realized more and more in my life that it's only when we realize we can't do life on our own that prayer begins to make any sense at all. It's only when we realize we cannot do life on our own that suddenly any of this makes any sense whatsoever. And if you think about it, we enter into our lives as these little wrinkly babies. We're completely dependent upon those around us to support us and to care for us. That's at one end of our lives. At the other end of our life, we probably will leave this world slightly wrinkly, very dependent upon God and upon those who are around supporting and caring for us. And the problem is, in the middle, we convince ourselves that we've got it. We can do this. We're independent. We know what we're doing. And we try and stand alone. But while everything around us says, you know, our life is all about our achievements and our what we have materially and the relationships around us, actually, prayer really kicks in when we realize that we cannot do this on our own and that we need help. And Jesus actually says, you will receive blessing when you're weak, when you're broken, when you are empty. And so it's in that place of brokenness and emptiness that we finally get to a place where we depend on God and where we pray to him with a renewed level of faith and vulnerability. And it's as we admit our brokenness to God and to one another that we actually begin on this path to humility. And it's on this path to humility that we find God's grace and our prayer life comes alive. And I've been thinking about what it means to pray, and perhaps associated to that, what it means not to pray, when we're not praying. And I've realized more and more that prayerlessness is a declaration of independence. That's what it is. Because we're saying, we can do this, I can do this, I've got it. And so the choice in our lives is either we stand independently away from God and say, I can do without you. Or we realize our own brokenness and our own need for God and we throw ourselves upon him, surrendered and completely intimate with him, dependent upon him for everything that we have. And I'm sure you're the same as me. If you think about the most heartfelt prayers you've ever heard or prayed yourself, it's those times when we're completely dependent upon God. And I have prayed some of those prayers recently. I mean, we've been through, as a church here at New Hope and Greyfriars, some really difficult times in the last few months. And my prayer life has been taken to a whole new level. And I realise more and more there's very little I can do. I'm actually incredibly powerless. I'm extremely weak. I'm a broken individual. But I am utterly dependent upon God. And in that place, he begins to work. It's his power at work in our weakness. Now, this is the pattern that we see in Scripture. We see people coming to Jesus, don't we, who are broken and needy and weak. And you can think of some now, whether it be the Samaritan woman or the official's son, whether it's the crippled man or the crowd who are just desperately hungry, the blind man. Each one of them came to Jesus with nothing. And yet they called out to him and they sought him with everything that they had. And so Jesus invites you and me now to come to him. This is the invitation here in this passage. He says, ask, seek, knock on the door of heaven for help. And the simple challenge for you and for me now in our lives is, are we doing this? Are we actually seeking God with that sense of vulnerability and weakness and dependency? Or are we standing independently on our own, thinking that we can do this? So why don't we just have a moment of silence now, and before God, just allow him to search our hearts. How dependent are we on God? Or are we standing in different areas of our lives independently from him? Let's just be still before him for a moment, and then we'll move on. Father, we thank you that we don't have to put on a mask before you and try and be strong and have it all together. But that in our weakness and our brokenness, with all our vulnerabilities and struggles, that we can come before you and ask and seek and knock on the door of heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would grow our dependency upon you as your people. That there be no shame in what we come before you with, but that you know everything about us before we even come to you. And so draw us closer to you in intimacy. That in that place of maybe exhaustion, maybe desperation, that we would lean on you with our full weight. And in that place, Lord, we would know your goodness and your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, the second question briefly to look at in this passage is this. What does Jesus promise you and me in return as we pray? And I just want to share a story which you've probably heard before, but it's a true story and it's a remarkable story, and it's of a soldier who during the American Civil War went to the President of the United States at that time, and he wanted to get out of his national service. And he approached the White House, and I mean, maybe not a surprise, he was turned away. And he went and sat in a park opposite, and he was really dejected and dismayed, and he sat in this park upset, and a small boy walked past him and asked him what was wrong. And the boy listened to him, and the man poured his heart out. And at the end of this short time that they spent together, the young boy said, well, come and follow me. And so they walked round to the side of the White House, and they walked past some officials and some military soldiers, and no one said anything. And of course, the man was surprised. They walked round the back of the White House, again past some more officials, and they saluted as these two men walked past, and the soldier was confused. And they walked upstairs, right up to the presidential office. And without knocking, the boy opened the door, and there stood before them was Abraham Lincoln with his Secretary of State. And the president turned around immediately and said to the boy, what do you want? And the reply came, Dad, you need to speak to this man. You know, in the most amazing way, the soldier had access to the Father through the Son. And you and I, in a way that still blows my mind, have access to God Almighty through Jesus the Son. We can access God in prayer because of Jesus. And it was Henry Nouwen who said that prayer is so important because it's only as you and I get down on our knees in prayer that we hear the voice of the one who calls you a beloved daughter or a beloved son. That's the place where we hear the Father's voice. And today is Mothering Sunday, and for some of you, as we've already said, this will be a time of rejoicing and you'll be able to give thanks. And for some of us, it's a really hard day. And for some of us, there's lots of pain that's stirred up in this day, and maybe relationships that we have or haven't had with mothers or in relation to children. But I want us to understand this morning that part of what Jesus is saying here in this passage of scripture is that, you know, unlike me, who didn't have a very good relationship with my mother, who was an alcoholic and was abusive, God is not like that. And you may not have had good relationships with your parents, but God is not like that. And what we read here in this passage of scripture is that God is good, God is loving, and God is faithful, and he gives good gifts to those whom he loves. And so the more that we hear his voice, the more that we pray, the more that we understand that he is good and he's loving and that he is sovereign, he is in control. And in fact, there's nothing that happens in this world that is beyond his control, even though you and I will now be thinking of multiple things in our lives where it really hasn't felt like God is in control. It hasn't felt like our prayers are being answered. But whatever you might be fearing in your life right now, whatever you're going through, I want you to hear that God is loving, God is faithful, and he is sovereign. And we can trust him, his ways and his timing. And there will be moments in our lives when we feel that that is really under question. But that's okay. And I always encourage people to just cry out to God. Maybe not right now, but cry out to God. What are you doing? Why is this happening? And that's what we read in the Psalms. People pouring out their hearts to God. And it's in that place and over time that we learn of God's faithfulness and his love for us. But this doesn't mean that God is necessarily going to answer all our prayers in the way that we might want. And I was thinking about my role as a father. And I'm sure for all of those of you who are parents, we receive multiple requests every day. I feel like I've had about 45 already this morning. But just because our children ask us for things, it doesn't mean that we give them everything, does it? And some things we don't give them because we love them. And we know the consequences of what will happen if we give them everything that they ask for. And in a similar vein, I kind of hope that in years to come, our children might look back and say, you know, Dad, you made some interesting decisions, but well done. On the whole, not bad. I can see why you did what you did. And actually, it's only in time that we will see why God answers our prayers in the way that he does. And someone once explained it to me like this, that the Christian journey is this sort of windy path up a mountain. And as we sort of turn left and right, where at times we're thinking, where are we going? And we just see on the front of these little signposts that point us, saying this way, that way, this way, that way. And it's only as we look back in time that we see on the other side of those signs is something saying God's way, God's way, God's way. And it's often only in time as we look back we can see his hand at work in our lives through some very difficult times. And there are other times when we're going through troubles when the enemy can seem really present, when it feels like we're being really oppressed in a spiritual battle. But actually it's only in time, and particularly as we have this eternal perspective, that not all of our prayers will be answered in this life. But God's promise is not just this life, it's not just this bit, it is the whole of eternity from here forever that he will fulfill his promises, that he will answer our prayers, that all of his goodness and all of his faithfulness will be seen and witnessed by those who love him. I'm going to finish with this. Here in this passage, we see seven promises. And we really need to hear this today for some of us who are thinking, God, what are you doing? And we hear this, it will be given to you. You will find. It will be open to you. The asker receives, the seeker finds, the one who knocks on the door will get an open door. I want you to hear this morning, your Father will give you good things. And the point of Jesus saying these words is to encourage us to come to him with boldness and expectation, that he answers, that he gives us good things when we ask him, and that we are to go to him with perseverance. You know, it's ask, seek, knock. There's an element of just keeping on going in prayer. And as we look to God, who he is, all-powerful, righteous, good, wise and loving, that is who he is. And the more we see that, when we come to him and we ask and we seek and we knock, we realize this invitation from Jesus is the most wonderful invitation we could ever receive. So why don't we just spend a moment in prayer now, and then Joy is going to come and lead us. But I suggest we just be still before God now. We want to take a moment for God to reaffirm who he is. His goodness, his faithfulness. His promises that have been spoken over your life. His presence with us even in the difficult times. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet at the end of that psalm is a declaration of praise and victory. That God will work out all things for good for those who love him. So let's be still before him now and pour out our hearts as we ask and seek and knock.